I'm Jamie Floyd, and for Brian Lehrer, there are a number of items on the New York State Legislature's plate in the remaining weeks of this session, from maybe renewing rent laws and capping property taxes to deciding whether to allow same-sex marriage. Today is Empire State Pride Agenda's LGBT Equality and Justice Day in Albany, and gay marriage is likely to be at the top of the lobbying agenda. The measure got within a few votes of passing in 2009, so what's changed since then? Well, we're going to count some votes with Liz Benjamin, state of politics blogger and the host of YNN's Capital Tonight. Welcome back to the show, Liz.
Thanks for having me, Jamie.
So polls show, Liz, that more New Yorkers support gay marriage since 2009, but the state Senate is now in Republican hands. That may or may not mean a better or worse chance for gay marriage now. Do you want to handicap its chances?
Wow, that's a tough one. Well, you know, there's a lot of moving targets here. Part of the problem is there was a comment made last year at the Log Cabin Republicans event, which is, of course, the GOP, the gay GOP group, right? Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos said, if we win back the majority, because at the time he was in the minority, I will tell the conference that I think we should have gay marriage come to the floor for a vote, but I will ask the conference what they think about it. And my personal vote remains no. Okay, so the issue is, first of all, you got to get the thing to the floor to have a vote. And we spent a lot of time chasing after Democrats and their various different leaders, which, as you'll recall, changed due to a coup, and that was a big problem that actually probably put the brakes on gay marriage and the momentum that it had at the time, to even find out if they would put it to the floor, because there were promises made to Senator Ruben Diaz, the very conservative Democrat from the Bronx, that it would never come to the floor. Maybe there were promises made. It was all very unclear. At this point, however, we just don't know what Dean Skelos might gain or lose from allowing a vote. It seems that public opinion at the national level and in New York is trending towards this happening, but the problem, and there have been a number of votes changing on both sides, but it's just unclear. Does he want to clear it out this year because it's not an election year, and then he would take the LGBT money, which has been pouring into the Democratic coffers, off the table, maybe some protection for Republicans who vote yes in a difficult election year in 2012. Maybe he trades something with Governor Cuomo, perhaps Governor Cuomo backing off the redistricting reform issue. It's very unclear.
But we do know, don't we, that the contest is really in the state Senate. The governor and the assembly support passage, don't they?
Well, yes. I mean, the governor has put himself on the hook for this in a very personal way, although he is not speaking today at the ESPA rally. Lieutenant Governor Bob Duffy is, which is a little bit interesting. I don't know what to read into the tea leaves on that one. Maybe he's just busy. I'm not sure. In terms of the assembly, they have lost members. Now they are at 99, which is just under a veto-proof majority. However, the assembly speaker and assembly leadership, Ron Canestrari in particular, has suggested that they do still have the votes to pass marriage. They've passed it three times on that side. Speaker Silver did tell me during an interview not so long ago that he has no intention of bringing up the bill unless the Senate brings it up first.
Now, looking back at 09, the pivotal vote back in 2009 was Queens Democrat Joe Addabbo.
Sure.
And, you know, the way the alphabet works, he came first in the roll call, and that no vote signaled that the Democrats just weren't united. And so, you know, arguably Republicans were relieved of pressure to vote against their party line, right?
Right, right.
So what's the status of Addabbo's vote now?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, he says that he remains, at this point now he's on the fence. However, he has indicated that in a number of interviews that he will vote based on what he believes the district wants. He has some pretty conservative folks in his district on both sides of the aisle. Of course, it's Democrat-dominated, as pretty much all districts in downstate are. However, that would be New York City, not Long Island, of course. But He has said he had a very interesting quote in the New York Times recently about the anti-gay marriage lobby, the religious right mostly, organizing in a very strong way, and said that he had received an uptick of emails and calls into his office, the majority of which were no's. So, you know, the pro-gay marriage folks better get on the stick with him, because if he feels, it seems to me, that if he feels that the constituency wants a no vote, he will again vote no. That's what it looks like. I'm sure the man is under an enormous amount of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the rest of Democrats who voted no? As you indicated earlier, two of those are now out of the Senate, or at least there's been a shakeup. There's been a shift, that whole mess that we all lived through
last time around. Hiram Montserrat. who voted no because he wanted to get some assistance from mm-hmm. Ruben Diaz in his reelection effort, hoping to mobilize a religious vote for mm-hmm. him. That didn't work. And then George Honorato retired. He was a no. He's been replaced by a yes with Mike Gianaris. Montserrat's seat is Jose Peralta. He's also a yes. And then Bill Stokowski, which he's a very interesting situation, was a no, replaced by a guy, Tim Kennedy, who is yes on gay marriage, but is also pro-life. So he's an interesting guy. However, you've had some switches also. For example, Antoine Thompson, also in the Buffalo area, was a Dem who voted yes, replaced by Mark Grassanti, who Lady Gaga targeted not so long ago at a concert. It's unclear where he's at. You've got Jim Alesi saying, playing his cards very close to the vest also. He's the guy who had, I don't know if people saw it, sort of an agonized, you know, very theatrical vote where he put his head in his hands and then finally whispered no. It was like a big deal. He's up at the top of the list there. And then you've also got Jack Martins out on Long Island, replaced Craig Johnson. He's also a no. So you've got a lot of Tony Avella is a yes. I mean, you've got a lot of stuff. He replaced Frank Padovan, who was a no. So there's all this sort of moving around that's going on.
Yeah. What about Carl Krueger from Brooklyn, Senator Carl Krueger? He had voted no, as I recall, and he's facing corruption charges. Is he likely to even vote?
Yeah, that's interesting. And you know who else is in a similar situation, although not as extreme yet, is Shirley Huntley of Queens, who we see today, according to the New York Post, is being targeted by the feds and also the State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman for an investigation regarding, again, as usual, member items. So maybe her vote could be up in the air. Carl Krueger has indicated that he's also perhaps gettable, because really, what does he have to lose? I mean, this is the least of his problems.
And you've referenced quite a bit through the conversation, not surprisingly, Senator and Reverend Ruben Diaz.
Sure, sure.
Who's certainly not changing his vote, right?
No.
How significant a factor is he going to be in opposition this time around?
Well, he's organized a rally, another one. I believe he did this before, and he had thousands of people come out. He really mobilizes the religious side of things, particularly in the Spanish-speaking community. He is, of course, a Pentecostal minister. He's a pretty outspoken guy and a charismatic figure, I think. He says he's received death threats or threats in general for his position, and he's pretty upset about that. He was referenced in, I thought was pretty interesting, an El Diario editorial in favor of marriage. So he's again going to be a factor, but not as much of a factor as he had been, because, of course, you can't trade anything for his vote, his leadership vote, because the Democrats are in the minority.
Well, and he had called for a boycott of El Diario after that editorial, correct?
Yep, he did. And then he also has called for a public referendum, if you will, on gay marriage. And I think he's a factor. He's not the deciding factor. You've also got State Conservative Party Chairman Mike Long in the mix, who says that he will perhaps even primary, but definitely unendorse Republicans who vote yes. And whether or not that makes a difference, I mean, if you look over in the Assembly, you've had several Republicans in upstate districts vote yes with the Democrats on gay marriage in the past and not lose their seats. So, and again, as I mentioned, I mean, maybe if you vote yes, then you'll get cash from folks on who have proven to be quite quite generous in terms of their donations of campaign contributions in the past. So
yeah.
It's very much of a liquid sort of situation
yeah.
at this moment.
Which really points up that the issue, marriage equality, is not strictly about partisan politics,
No.
you know, like taxes maybe or some other issues. Is it the influence of the state conservative party that promised to cut funding to any Republican who votes yes that makes more uniformity on the Republican side? I mean, how do you explain the way this shakes out?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. This is a conversation that I've had with a lot of people. I mean, for example, just over the weekend with some colleagues of mine, I said I thought it would be particularly interesting if the Archbishop, Tim Dolan, of course, who's a very incredibly charismatic guy, gets involved. He's definitely said that he's not, of course, not supportive, but if he got very involved, he could probably sway a number of people. Although I, you know, younger Catholics, I think, feel differently, and certainly people in general are feeling. It looks like, if you look at the polls, I mean, almost 60% of New Yorkers say, "Go ahead, and just let people get married if they want to get married,
yeah.
regardless." It looks like it's going to happen sooner or later, but whether it happens this year, in terms of all of the sensitive political situations going on, it's hard to tell.
Something that's different this year, this time around, are the Clintons, Bill and Chelsea Clinton,
right.
Working for passage.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean the vote will get more national attention this time around?
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, look, this issue in terms of gay rights in general has been national. I mean, look, you're talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the repeal of that. You're talking about DOMA and the Defense of Marriage Act and the Obama administration's decision no longer to allow or to put up defense of it, and then the House Republicans having to do that themselves, and some controversy regarding the law firm. The president, as we'll recall, is, of course, in favor of civil unions, as is Hillary Clinton, which, or had been, at least before she became Secretary of State. And that's why it's so interesting that her husband and her daughter are both now involved in this position. I mean, in 2009, Bill Clinton said that he had been wrong to oppose gay marriage, and so he's had a bit of a coming around on the situation, too. So, but in terms of how many votes Bill Clinton and Chelsea Clinton are going to turn, I don't think too terribly many when you say, is a Republican going to get turned by Chelsea Clinton calling up? Probably not.
Fair enough point. Now, let's talk about the nuts and bolts of this. Is there even a bill yet? I mean, when does that happen? And, you know, we're talking about it as if there's something for them to vote on. You started the conversation by saying you have to get the thing to the floor.
Right.
When does that happen? And will the way the bill gets drafted affect any wavering votes?
Yeah, I don't. This is a pretty cut and dried issue. I mean, either it's legal or it's not. Right. I mean, that's pretty much as far as I can tell. There's no requirement that any religious institution marry anyone. It has to do with the classification, right? The legal classification of people who get married. And then so you could argue, well, maybe the whole issue of marriage should just be religious, and everybody should be civilly united. I mean, I don't know, but the bill is very straightforward. It always has been straightforward. The assembly bill it still lives, if I'm not mistaken, but the governor has not sent up a program bill, which is interesting since he's been so clear on that this is a big personal crusade of his,
yeah.
particularly in the post-budget agenda where he angered a lot of the base, the liberal base, by moving to the right, and he wants to reestablish his support among the grassroots, the more liberal grassroots. Eliot Spitzer put up a program bill, and David Paterson put up a program bill and said that this was the civil rights a challenge of his lifetime. And he, of course, that's a significant thing coming from a blind African-American guy who was the first black governor of New York. He obviously didn't succeed. Eliot Spitzer didn't succeed. We have not seen a program bill from Governor Cuomo yet, but I wouldn't put too much stock in that. I mean, the timing here is very sensitive. I would bet that it happens later rather than sooner when the big ugly all comes together in the end, and that's, you know, near the last week of June, the second to last week in June.
The second to last week of June. Now, as you said, Lieutenant Governor Duffy is addressing the LGBT lobbying group today, and Governor Cuomo, though pushing for passage, is not. How much influence ultimately do you think Governor Cuomo will have on this? And you seem to think that it may not be all that significant that he hasn't put up the program bill.
No, I mean, I also, look, it's interesting. Bob Duffy's from Rochester, right? So he's an upstate Democrat, and that's significant because obviously upstate Democrats tend to be a little bit more conservative. They're so sort of more in line with the Joe Addabos of the world than, say, I don't know, your typical Manhattan Democrat like the Liz Krugers of the world, for example. So to send him out is a sort of a political statement. And in addition, there's no question. We all know where the governor stands. He's proven himself quite adept politically, particularly in the budget battle. But that in part was because he could use these budget extenders and all or nothing sort of my way or the highway, choose between doing what I want and a government shutdown if you don't get a budget deal with me. That's something that was pioneered by David Paterson. He doesn't have that option when it comes to policy. You just don't. You have to negotiate straight out. There's no cudgel that you can use. You can horse trade. And you can say, oh, well, okay, Dean Skelos, you don't want me to do redistricting, reform. Maybe this is a trade that he's willing to make. I don't know. He's not been clear on that. I'm just saying that I don't know. His force of personality is very high. He's made it clear that this is one of his top priorities. He's going out on the stump for the People First tour. It's going to be ethics reform, gay marriage, and property tax cap. Sort of a weird bag of situations.
Yes.
But still, he could have put anything in there. He could have put the rent laws in there. He could have said redistricting reform was important for him. Instead, he chose these three issues. So I think there's no question that the governor is clearly personally involved in this and has made it a top priority. Will his personality and his poll numbers push it through? It's going to be harder than the budget was.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to keep an eye on the issue with your help, Liz Benjamin. Throughout, we'll have you back, and we'll regroup on the issue of gay marriage and all of those other many issues you just raised as we go forward in New York state politics. Liz Benjamin, host of Capital Tonight, thanks for being with us on WNYC.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
And I'm Jamie Floyd, filling in for Brian Lehrer. Coming up next, we are going to talk with Lisa Bloom about her book, Think, a post-Mother's Day call for mothers and daughters to wise up.